Always remember that God is much less concerned about your status and more concerned about the kind of person you are. Are you going to mope around, or are you going to get motivated? Are you going to spiral downward from disappointment to depression, or will you display character in overcoming your failure? God is the best career advisor you can find. Include Him in the evaluation process of your life when determining what you should do and who you should become. Finally, moving from the subject of death to grief. Grief is a word that's familiar to all of us. But none of us want to experience this. Yet we all do. Grief is inescapable. But as such, it is natural. The Bible teaches that those who believe in God have a spiritual and eternal hope. For them, this life is not all there is. In fact, for them, death is the end of their sorrow and pain. The end of this life is just the beginning of life everlasting. Those who have no faith, however, lack this hope. And when there is no hope, death will bring despair. And death will trigger grief in those who remain. Without faith, people are under the belief that the present life is as good as it gets. In fact, without faith, the present life is all there ever is. And death represents the total finality and futility of it all. For those people without faith, death is to be feared. With faith, there is hope even in the face of death. With faith, the present life is as bad as it will ever get. With faith, things only get better. They become perfect, in fact, when the present life ends. With faith, death is a step in the process of getting nearer to God. God understands our grief. He doesn't expect us to celebrate our loss. He knows we will mourn the temporary loss of our love and companionship. So He has no complaint with your grief. Grief is an honest emotion that should not be denied or subdued. And know that you are no less spiritual just because you're sad. Just don't let your sadness turn into depression. Instead, make your sadness sacred. Recognize that this is temporary in the context of God's eternity. Finally, I'll close with a thought from Reverend Barry Edwards. He's done a lot of services, and I've heard him do several services and funerals and memorials over the last couple of years. And one time he said this, and I'll always remember this. Use your grief as incentive to live your life in a way that will bring honor to the memory of the ones you grieve. Let me say that again. Use your grief as incentive to live your life in a way that will bring honor to the memory of the ones you grieve. Let's close with prayer. Dear God, we come to you once again today to ask for your forgiveness when we stray from you. We thank you for always being there for us in our tough times, always being there welcoming us back into your arms. We pray that we always remember that the adversity in our life is so small when compared to the glory we will receive in heaven. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen.
To follow up on several of Weston's remarks, Sarah and I have, over the years, occasionally responded to our relationship by saying, questions about the relationship by saying, well, we just got lucky. But at some point, we realized that God was in that plan. And God has indeed wrought a beautiful thing in that relationship. So I'll affirm that any time and every time. Let us sing our song of invitation, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, on 474 of the Blue Hymn Book.